noise right here on LBRocks.com.
And now back to whatever crap you're listening to.
The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room. Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion Live at LVRocks.com. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me a silent or do not call me late for dinner. And if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion. Once again, the program is live in LV Rocks as well as podcasted. Thank you for everybody listening to the podcast and everybody listening to the program live and all one of us in the chat room. And Giorgio's in there. He's a loyal listener. We thank him very much for being in the chat room. Thank you very much. And actually, he's from Montreal, Canada, so very good. And the program is also archived over on spankwagon.net, and they're on every Friday, followed by King Hesh. And the website is subject2discussion.com, and email is subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. And once again, we'll go through the news from around the country and around the world. And then in the second hour, we'll dabble into this Middle East mess with Michael J.W. Stickings from the reaction.blogspot.com. And then following him will be Mr. Koenig Rules with our Stargate review. And we'll go on what happened with the Stargates and news about Battlestar Galactica and its season premiere and some more items that will be coming up in sci-fi. I believe he had some news about Doctor Who as well. So we'll talk to him about that when he comes in. And before we get to the news to me, I want to talk about some of the headlines were in the paper today. And we have of course, that was the Centurion in charge of production, Mr. Consular. Thank you very much. And today's Las Vegas. Today's Las Vegas Review Journal. They talk about, of course, the Lebanon Exodus gears up and everything. And on the United States government is getting some reaction criticisms about our government being slow on the uptake for getting Americans out of that region. They're comparing that to the Katrina disaster. So, and apparently now they say, how come the French and the other countries are able to mobilize faster to get their citizens out of there other than the United States? So apparently now they're going to ramp up the efforts. And then the Bush administration has decided not to charge citizens that they're rescuing. Apparently before they wanted them to sign a promissory note before they get on the ship that they would pay them back for the rescue. So, I mean, that's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that was a little ridiculous, but then they finally relented and now they will not charge the people for being rescued in the Lebanon-Israeli mess over there. And the Review Journal talks about the tsunami crashes into Indonesia's Java. Talk about that. That's been ignored in the media. And then on the bottom talks about this porn star fundraiser. She's running for governor here in Nevada. Says Republican gubernatorial candidate Melody DeMayo couldn't decide what karaoke song to sing. So now apparently she's singing karaoke to raise money for running for governor. And she had a picture of her doing the limbo Friday at a fundraiser. She's a former porn star, excuse me. And let's see here. She wore heaps of silver jewelry, 6-inch black heels, a men's style shirt unbuttoned to reveal her capacious bosom, and a headband to hold back her waist length black hair. So she looks rather fetching. And what else?
Holy God, dude! I'm kidding. I can heave.
And what else is going on in this Review Journal rag newspaper? No, it's, I guess it's the only newspaper we have in Las Vegas and Nevada, so we got to, you know, it's all we have, Glanor Birdcage with it. And then this story here about ex-officer charged with raping boy is HIV positive. I mean, this is ridiculous. This guy, I'm not...
he's doing something to his ass. He's not kicking his ass, but he's definitely doing something to his ass.
I say death penalty. I don't know. I say throw him in there with the general population. Let them have it. This
pervert.
Yeah. A former California police officer charged with sexually assaulting a 14-year-old Las Vegas boy is HIV positive. Authorities said Clark County Las Vegas.
Holy cow!
Clark County prosecutors have charged Sean Michael Shelton with intentionally transmitting the AIDS virus in the May 21st assault. Shelton, 39, also faces charges of kidnapping, sexual assault, and coercion. It is disturbing any individual would intentionally inflict someone with the HIV virus, especially a person who is a former law enforcement officer, said the DA, David Roger. Disgusting. The boy told police, this is even more horrible. The boy told police he was waiting at a bus stop near Desert Inn in McLeod, and when a man in a black L.A. baseball cap pulled up in his black Hummer H2, according to a Las Vegas police report. The man flashed a badge and told the boy to get in the vehicle because he matched the description of a murder suspect. The man handcuffed the boy and drove to a desert lot where he made the boy perform oral sex. The man told the boy he had a gun and would kill him if he did not follow his instructions. So, horrible guy there. Jeez. I guess he wanted a Hummer of a different kind, I guess, huh? Ba-dum-bum. It's not funny, but, I mean, you got to lighten the mood here a little bit. And what else is this? Talk about the boy. After being freed, the boy ran home and told his mother what happened. And a few days later, they had a description of the pervert who did this, and they caught the man. So, disgusting, disgusting. And also they talk about we had a woman who was held office here in Nevada, Kathy Augustine. She died of, a heart attack or a stroke, whatever it was. And they perform an autopsy on her because her husband apparently slit his wrists over the weekend. And it's suspicious because this guy was a nurse for her ex-husband. And it's turning into a soap opera with this. And also they're talking about Boulder City, which is about 40 minutes east of Las Vegas, about having goats, bighorn sheep. The small, quiet park over the sheep have gone into the park. A hot spot for watching the sheep. So I don't know how the sheep just wandered into the park, I guess. I don't know. So, and then in USA Today, I talked about the diplomatic solutions for the mess with Israel and Hezbollah. There you go. This is a big horn sheep. Uh-oh. And let's talk about the oppressive heat. It's 116 degrees here today, and oppressive heat grips most areas. And also how welfare reform has changed America. They talk about that. And let's see here. I don't know why they got all this. And talk about YouTube in the life section, but YouTube launches its own web stars. Some people are going on YouTube, becoming stars in their own right, apparently. And then how this Christy Brinkley divorce has turned into a huge scandal. Something about the nanny or the housekeeper or something. So that's unraveling every day as we go along. And I'm talking about wedding webcasts engage more interest. Apparently now that people are webcasting their weddings, and more people are going onto the websites and watch the weddings on websites and webcasts without even attend the wedding. So with that, we'll move on to the news to you. And there we are. And Giorgio said that the chick running, the former porn star running for governor here in Nevada, she would have his vote for governor. So I don't know. I wonder how she'd convince the legislators in Carson City to pass bills. Would she convince them her own special way, I wonder? I don't know. This is from Tuesday from Africa, from the Congo. George W. Bushmeat sold in... Now, Bush's meat. Oh, I blew that one. Bush's meat sold in Europe and America, scientists says. But this is African bush meat, actually. It says meat from wild animals, including primates, is being sold in clandestine markets in North America and Europe, according to a report to be released tomorrow. A wildlife biologist tracked down the illicit trade in Paris, Brussels, London, New York, Montreal, Toronto, and Los Angeles. The research team biologist has 27 records of chimpanzee and gorilla parts being sold in markets. In each case, it was not a complete body, but a hand, leg, or in two cases, a head. Bushmeat is a meat from wild animals, including gorilla, chimpanzee, forest antelope, crocodile, and bush pig. It is a food staple among forest-dwelling communities in Africa and a source of income for thousands of people. But the hunting and sale of wild animal meat is a threat to endangered species and also poses a health risk because eating bushmeat has been linked to fatal illnesses such as HIV/AIDS and Ebola. Wow. 13,000 pounds of bushmeat moves through those seven markets each month. Small antelopes called duikers were the most common type of bushmeat in the markets, but the research biologist said meat from primates, rodents, reptiles, and birds was also being sold. Ugh, disgusting. You know, I hope nobody's eating dinner. Whenever it tastes like chicken, you know, everything tastes like chicken. May it taste like chicken. Also from today, the Securities and Exchange Commission eyes elderly free lunch scams. The SEC is looking hard at seminars where seniors get a free meal and a hard sell for investments that can range from inappropriate to fraudulent. 40 investment firms across America's Sun Belt are under federal examination over so-called free lunch investment seminars to target elderly victims. I wonder if they include Depends and Geritol with that. I don't know. In six states with large retiree populations, the SEC is looking hard at seminars where seniors get a free meal and a hard sell for investments. So, you know, I hear that all the time here in Vegas. So, and oh, I didn't mention this, that the KDWN, the local big talk radio station, is apparently changing its format starting, I believe it's August 1st, that the program Wake Up America, which is the illegal alien program that's been focusing on the illegal immigration for a couple years, from Monday through Friday from 10 till midnight, they're going off the air. Apparently, what is it, the 30th of July, 30th or 31st of July, I think the Monday would be the finale of Wake Up America. So
could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
I don't know. With that show gone, I don't know what's going to happen now. They're bought for $17 million.
Brilliant!
By Beasley Broadcasting. Apparently, they're going to change the format of the station from talk to something else. So, $17 million. And KDWN is a 50,000-watt station. At night, they reach 14 states. So, I guess bad for the hosts, but I guess good for the owners. They come out with $17 million. And it's also from today, from Everglades City, Florida, a state conducts an undercover sting to nab people feeding alligators. Officers with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission are conducting an undercover sting this Friday to nab people feeding alligators. It is a second-degree misdemeanor and can train the animal to associate people with food, leading to potentially fatal attacks. They're going to be handing out tickets that could lead to fines or even jail time. I know for a while when I was in Florida, when I was much younger, they had stories about these alligators. People are coming out with, oh, my pets, my dog ran away. They put the dog in a leash in Florida and let the dog out in a leash. They can make, oh, the dog's gone. And it turns out that the alligators are eating those little dogs, you know, like poodles and all these other dogs are grabbing them off the leash and eating them. And then these people thinking, oh, the dog just ran away. Now the alligators are eating dogs. So, and also from today from San Diego, goats munch away fire hazard. When it comes to preventing brush fires, a charming brown and cream goat named Timbuk might give Smokey Bear a run for his money. With fire season underway, residents of a San Diego neighborhood devastated by a 2003 fire have commissioned Timbuk and 350 of his friends to eat their way through brush encroaching on newly rebuilt homes. Goats are being used more often in California to thin undergrowth in areas where controlled burns are too risky or terrain is too difficult for humans to navigate. Goats relish their jobs, and they need no prodding to eat their way through the tasty underbrush. All they require is some water, some supervision, and some portable fencing to keep them under control. They raised about this little community raised about $13,000 to hire a local company to keep the goats grazing on city-owned land and behind their homes for about 2 weeks. The $750 per acre hire the goats. What is that, Timbuk? The $750 per acre cost is about one-fifth of that of a human crew. Do humans eat the underbrush too? I don't know. Hiring the goats was the brainchild of Remus and Jerry Mitchell, a retired Navy pilot who nearly lost his home and the blah, blah, blah. So they're hiring these goats to save their communities from the underbrush. And also from today, I had the nude sunbather fights to keep dog from Central Islip, New York. A nude sunbather is suing for the right to bask in the buff with his rat terrier Cheekies at his side. New Yorker Mark Delcor says he needs full sun exposure for a skin condition. He links, get a little of this, he links to the World Trade Center toxins. He said he needs...
Laughable, man!
He says he needs Cheekies with him because he suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder. Delcor likes to do his sunbathing on a clothing-optional beach on Fire Island.
Spare me your sixth-grade Michael Moore logic.
Officials at the Fire Island National Seashore say he's welcome, but his dog isn't. The park only allows guide dogs on its swimming beaches. Delcor's lawsuit argues that his dog's healing presence qualifies Cheekies as a service dog. So I don't know about that. It's crazy. And what else talks about this? My Cheekies. I don't know about having a helps with his depressed post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't know. Who knows? But you hear more and more of these people. CNN had a story, too, about a few weeks ago about somebody, more people coming down with some kind of breathing disorder. They were in the aftermath of 9/11. So, and what else? Giorgio's dropping in about this thing with Bush and Blair at the G8 summit, where Bush does know the mic is on, and Bush used some colorful language when talking about the mess in the Middle East. So, and also from today, from Kankakee, Illinois, dozens sickened by apparent chlorine leak. A water park in Kankakee, Illinois, which is about 50 miles southwest of Chicago, a water park in Kankakee remains closed after nearly three dozen people became ill Sunday night because of a chlorine leak. Ambulances were called to the Splash Valley Aquatic Center. When crews arrived, they found 33 people with breathing problems and a strong chemical smell near the pool area. All 33 people were taken to hospitals. Their injuries do not appear to be serious. So I used to work at Wet n Wild here in Las Vegas, and sometimes you can come in and the chlorine, smell the chlorine in the morning and knock you out because they fill that pool, six pools with chlorine. So, but now Wet n Wild is gone, and now I understand they're bulldozing, starting to bulldoze what's left of the rides there now, or the slides. And also today from Tabasco, Mexico, Mexican army rolls into Gulf State. A shootout between drug traffickers and police prompts action. Hundreds of soldiers patrolled three cities in the Gulf Coast state of Tabasco in Mexico on Monday to restore security. The officers also looked for presumed drug traffickers who engaged in a shootout with police that left two officers dead and seven people injured. There we go. And uh-oh. I don't think they want to do too much damage. Isn't that where they make the sauce? Is it Tabasco? I don't know, man. I'm being too simple here, but isn't that where they make the Tabasco sauce? I don't know. The army.
You are one pathetic loser.
Well, where else they make it? You know, same thing that everybody says. What's the official? You know, what's the phone company in Mexico? I always say I'm Taco Bell. I don't know. The army was keeping. The army was keeping watch in Cardenas and part of Villahermosa, the capital, about 400 miles southeast of Mexico City, says Tabasco Governor Manuel Andrade. So, I don't know. The shootout took place before dawn on Sunday when a number of armed men believed belonged to the Zetas, a group led by ex-military men working for the Gulf Drug Cartel, killed a police commander and opened fire on others in an attempt to rescue two of their colleagues. Who had been detained. So, a mess going down there in Mexico. Good grief. And the next one is also from today from Nigeria, from Yenagoa, Nigeria. Blasts hit Nigerian oil pipeline. Two suspected explosions at crude oil pipelines operated by Italian oil company Egypt caused massive spills in Nigeria's southern state of state government officials said on Thursday. In a separate incident in neighboring Delta State, heavily armed militants engaged troops protecting a convoy of Chevron supplies in a skirmish, but no one was killed. The explosions on the pipelines, which feed the 200,000-barrel-per-day Brass crude oil export terminal, occurred on Wednesday, says the State Commissioner for Special Duties, Dixon Bakebane. So I mean, what a mess going on over there. And the Chevron's got, I think, pipelines. I think Shell's got some pipelines over there as well. So they always said it's going to be a mess. Anytime any kind of disruption to supply, up go the gas prices. You know, was it 79 and, what, 65 cents a barrel today? And also from Miami, Florida, Miami detective arrested on child porn charges. State officials said investigators traced videos of child pornography posted on the Internet to a Miami-Dade Police Department detective who was arrested. Franklin Smith is charged with promoting the sexual performance of a child and possession of child pornography. He faces up to 40 years in prison if
you son of a bitch!
If
you
convicted.
You twisted bastard running hell and died! You son of a bitch, you bastard!
Yeah, this guy's horrible. According to the state...
He's a fake!
According to the state attorney general's office, the videos Smith allegedly distributed were discovered during an undercover online investigation, which...
You are one pathetic loser!
...which traced the videos to the detective. Authorities said a computer containing multiple videos and images of child pornography was seized during a search of Smith's home. Disgusting. Disgusting.
It's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
Disgusting. Speaking of species, this is from today. Beer Baron Coors loses license for DUI. Wow, what a coincidence. Beer Baron Pierre Coors' driver's license has been revoked by a hearing officer who ruled the executive had been drinking under the influence of alcohol. Hearing officer...
You are a meathead.
Scott Garber ruled Friday that Coors did not stop at a stop sign on May 28th and was driving intoxicated. Coors, 59 years old, said he had consumed a beer, I wonder if it was a Budweiser, about 30 minutes before leaving a wedding. He faces a July 20th arraignment and has 30 days to appeal the revocation of his license.
Alcohol is bad.
He should.
Next question.
He said he made a mistake. He should have planned ahead for a ride. For years, blah, blah, blah. He's advocating responsible use of our company's products. And the Coors spokeswoman said that Coors was charged with driving under the influence, and his lawyer did not immediately return a call for seeking a comment. So, in Golden, Colorado. So, I thought that was interesting. A beer company mogul found DUI. Amazing. And also from today, a garbage truck crashes into house. Somebody talk about a quick, convenient pickup, you know. Nobody was this from Neville Island, Pennsylvania. Nobody was injured when a garbage truck crashed into a house on 4th Street in Neville Island around 8:30 in the morning on Monday. The front of the home sustained some damage, but two children sleeping on the other side of the point of impact were not harmed, they said. Imagine the smell and everything after that garbage truck. I wonder if it went over and dumped it. I don't know. Up, Net Ranger St. Coors was drunk on whiskey. So the story goes, not beer and not Coors. He was drunk on whiskey. So that's good. That's a good clarification.
Jesus, what a fucking stink.
We thank Net Ranger for the update. And also from Billings, Montana on Tuesday, tree fire at MSU Billings. Authorities say careless use of fireworks. This is old. No, this is from the other day, from Tuesday. So it must have been leftover fireworks. Careless use of fireworks started trees and bushes on fire at MSU Billings campus on Saturday night. Billings firefighters responded to the student permit parking lot just before 7. Firefighters say the flames reached about 40 feet in the air while they doused the blaze. A neighbor says kids had been lighting off fireworks in the area every night for 3 weeks. The fireman says using and possessing fireworks in the city limits is illegal, and you could be fined if caught. So, I don't know. They should do that here in Vegas. It's a two-damn drive to be shooting off fireworks, you know? And actually, we had that talk about a fireworks display, the lightning and the blast and everything last night. I mean, they showed video of some blast in the quarry over there. They lit it up like a Christmas tree, as they say. So, and also they're calling for massive, real bad thunderstorms later tonight, too. And also today from Sacramento, California, a Molotov cocktail thrown at Sacramento school. Somebody obviously didn't like their grades. Sacramento County Sheriff's investigators are searching for whoever threw an unlit Molotov cocktail into an elementary school on Monday morning. The device was found at Tsukumoto Elementary School in Sacramento. A window was broken, but there was no other damages, officials reported. So, obviously, if you're going to throw a Molotov cocktail, you got to light the stupid thing, you know? Not that I'm advocating that, but if you're going to do it, you know, do it the right way. No, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. And also for Monday, Peanut saves life from, let's bring up Molokoff. Molokoff, M-A-L-A-K-O-F-F, Molokoff, Texas. Jerry Brown, this is the woman's name. Jerry Brown knew she wasn't feeling very well when she walked in her home, and she didn't know exactly how sick she was. She passed her husband, Neil, on the way to the back of the house. He was sitting in a couple's suede-covered couch. Why do we need all this? And watching a little TV. He's a little hard of hearing these days, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Jerry passed her husband and went to the bathroom in the back of the house. There, the stroke she was in the middle of took place, but took her by full force, and she fell to the ground. And she said she couldn't yell very loud. She kept yelling, Neil, Neil, Neil. But then the third member of the house, the couple's Dachshund Terrier mix, Peanut, did hear her cry, and he streaked back to see what was going on. And apparently this woman told the dog, Peanut, to go get Neil. So then Peanut ran back and started barking and everything. And apparently Peanut lets out this weird whine that sounds like the dog was upset. So they found the woman and everything else. So Peanut saved a life. The Peanut stayed at her side until the ambulance arrived. So good for Peanut in Malakoff, Texas. And also from Arkansas, DeWitt, Arkansas, county trash fees to rise in October. Arkansas County residents will have to dig deeper into their pockets come October. The Arkansas Quorum Court Tuesday approved a $4 a month basic rate hike in trash hauling. According to the three-year contract, blah, 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 the increase from the current $13.50 to $17.50 a month will show up on county residents' October 1st bills. However, the bills might increase further if the price of fuel keeps going up. For every 10-cent price increase in fuel, the Pine Bluff Hauling Company has to pay. County residents will pay an additional 8-cent surcharge on top of their $17.50 per month bill. Wow, that's horrible. Horrible. Waiting for the Nevada Power here to pull that stunt here. They're always looking to jack up the fees and rates. And that's right, sticking in a fuel surcharge bill, you know. Although fuel's got nothing to do with delivering electricity, but that won't stop them. And also from Tuesday, from Kyle, Texas, nursing story big on the web. Breastfeeding enthusiasts come to the rescue of Kyle mom. It's from Kyle, Texas. After the Free Press newspaper reported last week that Michelle Hickey was asked not to breastfeed her baby in public at the Kyle Municipal Swimming Pool. Just blah, blah, blah. Apparently, they went on a blog, and then the bloggers stop people and ran to her defense. I think it's ridiculous. You shouldn't be allowed to sit there and breastfeed your baby in public. We have that problem at the hotel, you know, a few weeks ago.
Holy God, dude. I'm kidding for fucking heat.
Yeah, I mean, she's sitting there. The lady drops down to the floor by the desk there and lifts up her shirt and starts breastfeeding her kid while people are walking by, you know, gawking at her. I mean, come on. I mean, if you're going to do that, do it. Have some decorum, please. Don't drop it in the middle of the floor in a post and start breastfeeding your child. I mean, don't they have these bathrooms? They have these areas where you can sit down and do it, or go to some obscure hallway, you know? Because most of these hotels have these big, you know, walkways down to the meeting rooms and everything. Can't they go down there and do it? They'd sit there in the public. Anyway, talking about this. In the anonymity of the internet, derisive hoots at the city of Kyle's expense make up a large portion of the comment. Bloggers pounced on a quote by City Parks Director Kerry, indicating that the breastfeeding could be distracting for swimmers. If someone's that immature and would drown at the sight of a woman breastfeeding, then maybe the bottom of the pool is the appropriate place for you, onemothering.com user wrote. So, man, they're really going off the
deep end here. Holy God, dude! I'm kidding, for fucking
heat. Yeah, the pool director first asked her to leave, then told the mother to cover herself. However, the lady said Hickey was not asked to feed her baby because the 5-year-old son was swimming in the pool. So this is a 1-year-old toddler. So, I mean, that puts a little more emphasis on that. I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, you take your kid to the bathroom or take the kid somewhere off to the side and breastfeed him over there, not sitting in the middle of public, you know. So, and also for Monday, from Gladstone, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, a bald eagle abused, officials said. Department of Natural Resources officials are calling it one of the worst cases of animal cruelty they've ever seen. They're looking for information on who might have held a full-grown bald eagle captive, painted its head, and cut off its tail and flight feathers. He was found in the wild near Garden Corners in Delta County 2 weeks ago, and now officials and veterinarians are hoping are helping the eagle to recover.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah, if he hadn't been found or turned in, they said, he would have been taken by a wild animal or he would have died of starvation. So now that they've given the bird a name, Rainier, and his current home is the Gladstone Raptor Rehab Center. So, and the bird still has federal tags on his legs, proving he had been taken from the wild, which is particularly strange, was Rainier's head had been painted, possibly an attempt by the captor to keep the bird hidden. I don't know. How the hell you can hide the bird even paint his head? I don't know. Crazy people. So, and also for Monday from Morristown, Ohio, running of the rednecks kicks off Jamboree festivities. It must be the same redneck that stole the bald eagle. Country music fans from across the world took part in the traditional running of the rednecks to claim, is that where a chase, the people get chased by rednecks down around this village, or is that running of the bulls? Running of the rednecks to claim the best seat in the house. They laced up their shoes and picked a team, tarps in hand, the buzzer sounded, and the fans made the dash to find the best seat in the house for Jamboree in the Hills. So, running of the rednecks now.
Why, that ain't my belly button.
Well, that ain't my finger, neither.
And what else? Giorgio is saying that the U.S. Senate defied Bush on stem cell research by voting 63-37. So they say he's going to veto that. Be his first veto of his administration be the stem cell research thing, which is ridiculous. They should do all kind of research on those stem cells, not listen to Bush. And a new law punishes adults who let teens drink alcohol. From Providence, Rhode Island, parents and other adults who let teens drink face fines and jail time under a new state law.
Alcohol is bad.
Yeah, until now, police have had to prove that adults bought alcohol for people under 21. The new law lets them prosecute adults who allow underage drinking in their homes, even if they don't supply the alcohol. The governor recently signed a law. Under it, a first offense carries a $350 to $1,000 fine, up to 6 months in jail. 15 other states have laws punishing adults who permit underage drinking in their homes. Another 17 states punish adults who provide minors with alcohol. That's good. That's good. Rein the stuff in now. You know, make the parents responsible. And also from Monday, from Abilene, Texas. And what's that song? I Believe in Abilene. I don't know. HEB issues recall. If you purchased HEB brand and Mi Tradicion brand corn tortillas from their stores, a precautionary recall has been issued by the company. A voluntary recall is a result of an equipment malfunction. How can an equipment malfunction a tortilla? I don't know. The recall is specific only to white and yellow corn tortillas and sold under the HEB and Mi Tradicion brands. If the customers recently purchased the product or have it in their pantry shelves, they are asked to return the product to the store for a full refund. The company says this is an isolated incident and no illnesses or injuries have been reported. The voluntary recall affects only HE Band and Mi Tradicion brands. So I wonder what's wrong with those tortilla shells that they're recalling them, you know? And Monday from Berlin, Germany, a postal worker caught with thousands of letters. We had one like this last week. A Berlin postal worker was caught with more than several thousand undelivered letters in his basement. Has admitted he was overwhelmed by the job, but insisted he planned to deliver them soon. Police recently found 90 boxes of posts stacked in his basement. Wow, unbelievable. The postal worker, 36 years old, identified as Thomas H., told the newspaper Friday he was only temporarily storing the post at his house and friends would help him with the delivery. It's ridiculous. We had that in Chicago. We had the people underneath the Wacker Drive with stacks of mail burning it to keep themselves warm in the winter. Yeah, mail, the postal workers just throwing them out of their the postal trucks on the way back to the depot, and they're dumping the mail out in sacks, and the homeless people are using it to burn in the barrels to keep their hands warm. Terrible. And also on Monday, we had from Steubenville, Ohio, 22 dogs rescued from deplorable home. Over 20 dogs had been rescued from a Steubenville home in deplorable conditions. Oh, there they are. Police. Wow, that one looks pretty healthy. Uh-oh, there's the poodle. Police went to the home and where inches of dog feces and urine covered the floor and the furniture was ripped to shreds. The Steubenville police chief said this is the worst case he's ever seen. Police discovered that the 22 dogs after neighbors report a foul smell. No kidding. Police have been caring for the animals while they search for the owner. Dozens of dog food bags.
Jesus, what a fucking stink!
Dozens of dog food bags were also found inside the home, indicating that someone else was also feeding them. Police said they still have not found the person responsible. Whose home was it then? They gotta find out who owned the house, and they can find out why it was locked out. It's 20 dogs. Oh, terrible. The person will face multiple animal cruelty charges. The police chief is saying this is also a moral issue. You shouldn't leave 20-some dogs in a house unattended. I don't know why someone would have that many dogs to begin with. Some dogs were puppies, and a few cats were found outside. Terrible. Terrible. That story was a few weeks ago here in Vegas. A bunch of cats, or what, 66 cats, or somebody found somebody's house. Horrible. Uh-oh. And also from Monday, from the Champaign, Illinois, University of Illinois wind farm is a go. The University of Illinois is moving ahead with plans for a wind farm to provide power to its Urbana-Champaign campus and educational opportunities for its students. The $5.7 million project would put three 300-foot turbines on U of I's South Farms. U of I, so those of you who don't know, U of I has got some agricultural area school there at U of I, and they have several farms they use to teach students there about agriculture and farming, because it's still in the farm belt of Illinois, in Champaign, Illinois. And let's see, they said the plans call for turbines to supply about 3% of the university's energy needs. Students and faculty from U of I's engineering and agricultural colleges are also interested in doing research using the turbines. So that's good to know. And also from Illinois, from Beardstown, Illinois, on ethanol, they're going to land an ethanol plant. Out of 12 proposed locations for an ethanol plant, Beardstown won out. Green Line Biofuels chose the city for its newest ethanol plant and will break ground in early 2007. The plant will produce 60 million gallons of ethanol a year, and plans already in the works for an expansion. It'll bring 40 new jobs to the city of Beardstown. It's a small, small town, so that's like 1,000 jobs anywhere else. They chose Beardstown because it's close to the Illinois River, and a railroad runs directly through the city, so good for them. The plant will generate about $1.6 million of revenue for the city, and since the plant will need 20 to 25 million bushels of corn, local farmers will also see the benefits as well. Good for them. Good for them. Because, you know, our government's paying these farmers not to plant corn and not to plant all these soybean and all. They let them plant it and turn it into ethanol, and then put that in the cars instead of the gasoline, and get the Arabs off our backs with this oil. And then Sunday, from Sao Paulo, Brazil, gang violence spreads fear. Gang members torched buses and attacked police, banks, and other civilian targets in Sao Paulo, Brazil, before dawn on Friday. Wounding two people in a violent crime wave that has sowed fear across Brazil's most populous state for the last 3 days. But police said the number of attacks was less than in the two previous nights, when seven people were killed in a violent spree orchestrated by a powerful prison gang, and what authorities believe is retaliation for the expected transfer of its leaders to Brazil's first federal penitentiary. So hell's breaking loose in Brazil now, too. And in May, nearly 200 people were killed in police clashes with the authorities, with the first command of the capital, which is or PCC by its Portuguese initials. And the unrest has raised doubts about the government's ability to control prisons, where jailed gang leaders used smuggled cell phones to communicate with subordinates on the outside. Can you believe that? They're able to get smuggled cell phones in these jails? Terrible. Wonder if they, wonder if it's singular or not. And then Sunday, from Lyman, South Carolina, boys found starving. Adoptive parents were charged. A couple has been jailed on felony charges after police discovered their three adopted sons were severely malnourished, including a 5-year-old boy who weighed less than 20 pounds. Well, what these idiots think, they're dogs they're adopting, or human beings, for crying out loud. An 8-year-old brother weighed less than 40 pounds, and a 7-year-old brother weighed less than 32 pounds when the police found him on Thursday. Terrible. The boys were also treated for bruises, scratches, burns, and head lice. Two of the boys told officers they were tied up to be kept from food in the mobile home. Terrible. Dennis McMurray, 30, and Holly McMurray, 29, were each charged with three counts of intentional infliction of great bodily injury upon a child. If convicted of the felony, each faces a 20-year minimum sentence. A fourth child, Molly McMurray's 10-year-old biological daughter, was found to have head lice but was not malnourished. Oh, that's all. You know, just head lice. Awful, awful story there. Terrible. And then Sunday, from Port Authority OK's underwater tunnel to the North Shore. Of course, this ties in with the stories going on in Boston with that big hole over that thing. Is that part of it collapsed and it crushing that poor woman. And now they're saying that the bolts are coming loose and the governor's going to have to decide what to do with the big dig in Boston. The possibility of the North Shore connector is now a reality. On Thursday, the Port Authority of Allegheny County's board of members approved the plan, which would extend the trolley line to serve PNC Park, Hinesfield, and other North Shore destinations. The project would connect the North Shore and downtown by drilling a twin tunnel under the river at a cost of $435 million. Didn't the big dig in Boston start off at that price and end up going like three times that because they cost overruns and everything?
Actually, I heard that it was bolts, but I don't remember what type of bolts. But the
it was Lego.
Nah. I don't know if it was a supporting bolts or, but they said how many bolts. It was like 1,600 bolts or something.
I believe it.
And they found a way to reinforce them. So
really?
They got to reinforce every single bolt.
In the tunnel in Boston. So that's going to take years. How many bolts are in that thing?
Well, they mentioned how many bolts there were. There were
what, 2 trillion?
No. Well, like I said, it was probably in the thousands somewhere.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
But they've figured out what they need to do. They got to reinforce them somehow. So.
How they know it's going to work?
Because they've tested it. And it works, I guess.
I mean, that thing ran over. The years they've been building that damn dig, that big hole in Boston.
Yeah, it was supposed to be done already, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. The same thing with here. We got the thing in Hoover Dam, the visitor center. That one, years of price overruns. You know? Who got all that money? Did you get any of that money? I didn't get any of that money.
No.
No. Ridiculous.
The only money I got back is from the DMV. I got like $75.
More than I got. Yeah, I don't think I ever get it. Well, I didn't really have my car out there anyway. So I didn't get anyway. Never mind. Not really mine. Anyway, I got a story about my finances, but I don't want to reveal here on international radio. And what else about those poor kids? I mean, come on. They're going to adopt these kids. I mean, raise them. Don't treat them like dogs. And Sunday, from Pittsburgh. Oh, I already did that, but the tunnel. And from Aloha, Oregon. I know there was an Aloha, Oregon. I saw this on Paula Zahn's program. Woman asks 911 to help send cutie pie deputy. Talk about dating service. I guess 911 in Oregon, Aloha, Oregon, is a dating service. A woman who called 911 to get the cutest cop I've seen sent back to her home, got a date all right, a court date. The same sheriff's deputy arrested her on charges of misuse of the emergency dispatch system. That reminds me of the story we had here, where it was, somewhere here, I don't know what it was, some woman called 911 because she got her burger at Burger King or it was and wasn't the right burger. And she wanted 911 to help her get her burger fixed at Burger King or wherever it was. I was like, and this 911 dispatcher was like, lady, we're not going to come out and help you get your burger fixed at Burger King. Go back in there and get them to fix the burger yourself. You know, so I was like, these wackos using the 911 for this stuff. And I heard stories here in Vegas, people call 911, they don't know what time it is. You know, what time is it? You know, what are you calling 911 for? And what else? I lost track of the story. It all started with a noise complaint called in last month by neighbors of Lorna Jean Dudash. The deputy to check on the complaint knocked at the door and her door and left. I don't know why the deputy left. She didn't wait till somebody answered the door. I don't know. The lady then called 911 asking that the cutie pie deputy return. The dispatcher, she asked again why Dudash needed the deputy to return. And then the lady said, honey, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I just thought he was cute. I'm 45 years old, and I'd just like to meet him again. But I don't know how to go about doing that stuff without calling 911. Terrible. Terrible. The deputy returned, verified there was no emergency, and arrested her for misusing the 911 system. An offense punishable by a fine of up to several thousand dollars and a year in jail. Good for them. Good for them. And also from Bar Harbor, Maine, a Maine lobster man pulls up a rare lobster. Is it supposed to be well done? I don't eat lobster, but a Eastern Maine lobster man caught a lobster this week that looks like it's been half-cooked. The lobster caught by Alan Robinson in Dyer's Bay has a typical... That is a typical mottled green on one side. The other side is a shade of orange that looks cooked. Robinson of Steuben donated the lobster to the Mount Desert Oceanarium. The staff member said the odds of or finding a half and half lobster are 1 in 50 million to 1 in 100 million. Good grief. By comparison, the odds of finding a blue lobster are about 1 in a million. Robinson has been fishing for more than 20 years, so he didn't know what to think when he spotted the odd creature in his trap. I wonder if they're going to eat the thing or not. I don't know. See, lobster shells are usually a blend of three primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. The colors mix to form a greenish-brown color of most lobsters. So I'll have to go take a look at the Rio. The Rio, we got the Buzio's restaurant there, and they're all sitting around in their lobster tank there getting ready to be cooked. I'll have to see what they look like. I didn't think about that till now. And also Sunday from Panama City, Panama, a referendum to widen the Panama Canal is approved. Lawmakers on Friday approved of a national referendum on whether the government should undertake the biggest modification to the Panama Canal since it was opened in 1914. The $5.3 billion project calls for a construction of a third set of locks on the canal that would reduce long lines of ships trying to cross the canal and allow larger ships to pass through. The canal, 105 feet above sea level at its highest point, uses a series of, we all know about that, the new locks would be able to, the larger container ships now are just barely able to fit through the canal's locks. The new locks would be able to handle those ships. Opponents of the proposed canal expansion contend the project is risky because it's based on a uncertain projections about the maritime trade and the world economy, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I think it's, why not let them expand the canal? You know, whoop-de-doo. Officials have said they would pay for the upgrades through loans and toll increases for ships using the canal. Recent polls indicate the majority of Panamanians favor the expansion. Well, that's good. Where's all this news on the CNN, the Fox News? All we're getting is this nonstop Israel-Hezbollah war business. You know, where's this rest of this stuff? You know, I was watching Shepard Smith there tonight on Fox News, and he was doing his little show, and then he had firing bullets or whatever it was. I mean, he ended up sitting on the floor with the correspondent for the whole hour, so that was odd. Get them out of there. Why do we need them there? You know, Anderson Cooper, he's in Cyprus. Why do we need them there? Can't they just send the correspondents? You know, I can have a steady, calm, you know, anchor there sitting in New York giving us, you know, direction, what's going on with this. Why do they always have to send them into that mess? Anyway, and then also from Friday, from Dover, Delaware, Largent's son indicted on solicitation charges. The youngest son of NFL great and former Oklahoma Congressman Steve Largent has been indicted by a Delaware grand jury on charges of soliciting an underage girl for sex. Kramer, allegedly, of course, allegedly, Kramer Largent, 20, of Tulsa, Oklahoma, was indicted July 3rd by a Kent County grand jury on four felony counts of sexual solicitation of a child under 16. The indictment said the alleged solicitation occurred between September 18th and October 2nd of 2005. Why took him so long to arrest him?
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
That's ridiculous. Other details were not available. Officials have issued a warrant for Largent, who is expected to travel to Delaware within the next 2 weeks to answer the charges.
Why, that ain't my belly button.
Well, that ain't my finger neither.
It's been like 8 months since this happened. Why it took so long? November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, 8, 9 months, whatever the hell it is. So that's crazy. And also from Saturday, from Madison, Wisconsin, daughter who surprised mom with birthday visit sues her parents. A Illinois woman, that's giving everybody from Illinois a bad name now, an Illinois woman using her Wisconsin parents is suing her Wisconsin parents for maintaining an icy driveway that she blamed for a fall that broke her ankle 2 winters ago.
You are one pathetic loser.
Crazy. This should be on Judge Judy. This week, a federal judge refused to toss out the lawsuit, setting up a trial for November. Cario Lua, 25, visited Darlington, Wisconsin to surprise her mother on her birthday in January of 2005. But the next morning, she was injured, and when she slipped and fell in her parents' driveway, she filed a lawsuit against her parents earlier this year. What a loving family that is. How'd you like to be? It's like the, was it the Ewings, you know? The daughter said that a letter from her mom, apologizing months after the fall proves that her parents knew that they had a defective gutter for years and did nothing about it. She's seeking more than $75,000 in damages for medical bills and lost wages. Her parents have said that she can't prove the driveway was icy at the time or that their drainage system was faulty. A U.S. judge district court says a jury should decide the matter. Terrible, terrible. Here, the kid suing her parents for $75,000. Horrible. And also Sari from Hyderabad, India. Spitting lands policemen in hot water. Spitting in public is common in India, but doing so on the public landed an Indian police constable in southern Andhra Pradesh state in hot water. Police said that this guy, his name is Rao, R-A-O, spat on students demonstrating against the rise in tuition fees for engineering colleges this week, provoking further protests by outraged parents and their children in this town. The outcry forced the police to take action against Rao, who has served in the force for 7 years, suspending him on half pay for 3 months. So there he is, just spitting on him. Spitting on the protesters. There you go. And Saturday, also from Berlin, Germany. Oh, wait a minute. I got this again for this damn postal worker. I have to fire my staff here. They're regurgitating the news here for me. And Friday from Denver, stations unknowingly giving away gas. I wish that happened here in Las Vegas. Investigators have visited four gas stations chosen by viewers in order to test them for accuracy in Denver. And what they found is that some pumps actually give you more than you pay for. Let's see. Of the four stations tested, the Bradley St. Clair gas station on 27th and Kipling scored the best, filling the testing device with exactly 5 gallons. The station at Mississippi and Leedsdale came in a little over 5 gallons, while the South Broadway and Union Street station was a little bit under the 5 gallon mark. But the most inaccurate Bradley St. Clair's location was at Alameda Avenue and Downing Street. It was far off. A customer could actually get an extra gallon of gas with a 20-gallon fill-up. Man, where's that station? I'm going to bring my car over there. Even the inspectors found the pump hard to believe. So I guess that's when they go in and prepay, and then they're usually supposed to go off at, it goes off like 86, and click, 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 click. So I don't know. I should do it here in Vegas, because I was in there the other day, and that thing went off at 82. So I'm just like, click, 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 click. You know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. You know? I might as well stop. Why am I even still pumping the gas? We should go back in there and give me my 11 cents then. You know, it only gave me $9.89 of gas, you know. But, man, I'm nitpicking. And then Friday, a 9-month-old left in hot car as mom grocery shops. Ah, never a good parent. What's all these bad parent stories today? On a day when temperatures scored into the mid-90s.
You are one pathetic loser.
Wait a minute. And day when temperature soared into the mid-90s, police said a 9-month-old boy was left in a hot car that was sitting in the parking lot of a Denver grocery store. The child was locked in the sweltering car for a significant amount of time Friday morning. The firefighters were called to the King Shopper store at about 11 a.m. after a customer walking through the parking lot noticed a child in the car and alerted store managers. The firefighters got the baby out of the vehicle, but he didn't look too good at first and was unconscious. The boy was rushed to Children's Hospital and recovered remarkably. He was released, blah, blah, blah. The experts said at Children's Hospital in Denver that 35 kids die every year in the United States as a result of being left in a hot car. Most of the temperature increase takes place within the first 10 minutes when the temperature inside a car can rocket from 75 degrees to 120 degrees in just minutes. The inside of a car can climb to 150 degrees, and heat stroke sets in at 105 degrees, emergency doctors said. Wow. So we get that happens all the time here in Vegas. You know, they had this story with a couple times last year, not too much this year, so obviously people are paying more attention. But a couple times last year, they had stories about the, somebody went to work and they forgot as the one day, take them out of the routine, I guess. So the father was taken, and it was supposed to drop the kid off at daycare, where it was, and he forgot the kid was there and went to work, and, you know, and a surprise, 8 hours later, he comes out and the kid's, you know, barbecued in the back seat of his SUV, you know, and oh my God, you know, it was, it's an accident, sure, but, you know, over and over and over again, I hold these parents responsible for what happened to their children. I mean, I don't know how you can forget the child's in the back seat of your car, you know, can't you see the kid in the rearview mirror? I mean, you know, totally unaware that your child's in your own back seat and you put him in there? Horrible. And what else? From Friday, from Tukwila, Washington. Driver intentionally runs over a pedestrian. A police arrested a driver suspected of running over a man during a dispute early Thursday morning in the parking lot of a Tukwila apartment complex. When officers arrived, they found the victim on the ground. They said he may have been run over more than once. The victim was taken to a medical center in Seattle with critical injuries. Police responding to 911 calls from witnesses spotted the car used in the alleged attack. There you go. And officers said that they chased the driver, arrested him, and impounded the car, which has front-end damage. So It reminds me of that story of that woman who ran over her husband repeatedly trying to divorce him or something. I remember seeing that story a couple years ago. And also from Friday from Kazakhstan, chicken lays mystery Allah egg. A chicken in a Kazakh village has laid an egg with the word Allah inscribed on its shell.
What the shit is that?
Our mosque confirmed it says Allah in Arabic. A farmer from the village of Stepnoy in eastern Kazakhstan told the state news agency, "We'll keep this egg, and we don't think it will go bad.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down."
The news agency said the egg was laid just after a powerful hailstorm hit the village. Kazakhstan is a large, thinly populated eastern Asian state where Sunni Islam is a dominant religion. I don't know about that. I think this one's BS there. How can a chicken lay an egg with Allah on it? Terrible, unless it's Big Bird or something. I don't know. And also,
what in the name of corn on the cob is going on around here?
And also from Friday, from Little Rock, Arkansas, Walmart, a new shoplifting policy, don't test it. A union-backed group critical of Walmart unveiled this week a company policy that bypasses Sam Walton's zero-tolerance stance against shoplifting. Thieves will now be prosecuted if they lift merchandise worth more than $25. Or if they don't identify themselves or are violent. Now we'll be prosecuted if they lift. So now they won't prosecute you if you're shoplifting anything under $25. You go over $25 and they're going to go after you. Especially if you don't identify yourselves or are violent. So you're going to steal anything from Walmart. You've got to be nice and polite about it, I guess. I don't know. We're concentrating our resources on organized theft rings and high dollar losses, says Walmart. It's simply not efficient to prosecute the most petty shoplifters at the expense of those high-dollar items. Our stores are hard targets for theft, and we intend to keep it that way. Don't test it, they said. So, whatever, from Walmart, you know. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, from Friday. Ducks, geese are not welcome in a city park. City officials are planning to get rid of the ducks and geese at Long's Park in Lancaster. It's either close the pond or straighten this condition out. We're trying to do it in a way as humane a way as possible, said the mayor. Mayor Gray, who's the mayor of Lancaster, said the ducks and geese are making too much of a mess at the park. The ducks defecate all over the area, and they actually foul up the park. They foul the water up. Where the hell else the ducks going to go but in the water? They foul the grass up, the walkway, and on a regular basis. We have to power wash, and it's just unacceptable. So the mayor is declaring war on the ducks and the geese, I guess.
Jihad! La, 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 la.
Yeah, jihad against the ducks and the geese in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They want the park to be sanitary and clean and enjoyable environments. The city will begin their bird removal plan next month. Say they hope they have all the ducks and geese gone by next spring. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't ducks and geese have wings and get more fly in? Get rid of the wings? They just turn around and fly back? I don't know how they're going to do it. I put a net over the park. I don't know. It's terrible. There we go. And from Lufkin, Texas on Friday, emotionally abused wife is in shelter. Carla Weichman and her children escaped the emotional abuse from her husband of 7 years. Her husband's addiction to gambling is what caused Carla Weichman's marriage to fail. You don't want to break up your marriage. You want to fix it, she said, blah, blah, blah. Well, they moved apparently from Dallas to Colorado to Oklahoma and wound up in Lufkin, Texas. Even with her husband making $100,000 a year, they had no money. Everything had been gambled or pawned away. No furniture in the house, no food, nothing. She says they had nothing. She boiled water so the boys could have a bath. She washed her clothes in the bathtub. She said she can make anything we want out of beans. Carla's husband blamed her for not having the money. The abuse suffered was not physical but emotional. So on and on and on. It was her mother-in-law to help the mother and her kids get out of the situation. So terrible. But this, I hear more and more stories about these people losing everything they have, gambling it all away. And now at least the Congress is clamping down on these websites with the poker and the gambling and everything. So that's a good move, I think. Like I say, you should have to make an effort to go gamble. You shouldn't be able to sit in your underwear at home and gamble away your money. You have to get in a car and drive for a couple hours to get to the casino. And also from Angelina, Texas. It'll be the last one before we take our break. Central residents being asked to conserve water. Around 7 a.m. Thursday, complaints start pouring into the Central Water District about low water pressure. The plant transformer blew at Plant 3, causing the well to stop working. More than 2,000 residents in Central and Idlewood are asked to save as much water as possible. It's going to cost thousands of dollars to fix the problem, and apparently have to get in a generator and everything else for this mess. So, but anyway. And, well, actually, this one's kind of funny. The wear nice pants, please tell women drinkers in London. Women are going on boozy nights out have been warned by the police to wear nice pants in case they fall down drunk in the street. A Suffolk Police Safety Campaign magazine shows pictures of young women slumped on the ground next to messages urging them, if you got it, don't flaunt it. If you fall over or pass out, remember, your skirt or dress may ride up, the magazine says. You could show off more than you intended. For all of our sakes, please make sure you're wearing nice pants and that you've already recently and that you've recently had a wax. Anyway, readers also asked to stick with are also asked to, told to stick with friends, book a taxi home, and watch the amount they drink. So terrible. So anyway, we'll take a break and we'll be joined in a couple minutes by Michael J.W. Stickings of the Reaction Blog. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Vegas, Nevada. You're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Conscience of conscience of folks flying.
Attention, attention, keep the humans remain entertained until the end.
And welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. Once again, I'm Sean O'Max, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me a Republican and do not call me late for dinner. And once again, if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion. Thank you, everybody, listening to the program live and everybody in the chat room. The chat room is starting to come to life a little bit. Thank you. And also, thanks for everybody listening. I already said the podcast. Thank you for everybody listening on the archives. I got a couple of emails from them. Everybody listening on the archives, thank you very much. And now we'll be joined by Mr. Michael J.W. Stickings of the Reaction Blog with a political discussion. And Michael J.W. Stickings, are you there, sir? Nice, that nice patriotic entrance for you.
I feel like I should have an entourage with me with that kind of an introduction or something. I have to wear a gladiatorial outfit or something.
Yes, so President Bush only wishes he had this kind of music introducing him.
Yes, well, it's good to be back. It's an honor to be on your show.
Oh, no problem. I understand you're shacking up with somebody. Is that right?
I am. I'm engaged. I'm getting
congratulations.
Married next year. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's great.
I'm sure it'll be a very democratic wedding. Very liberal, huh?
Completely democratic. No Republicans allowed.
No Republicans allowed.
Up here, conservatives, no friends of Republicans. I don't know if you heard this, but Stephen Harper, our conservative prime minister, said, you know, Bush can call him Steve.
Oh.
So they're on a first-name basis, and that really makes me unhappy, and, you know.
Wow.
So we have our own. We have our own types up here, and
What did Bush say he can call him? Sir, Your Honor, or Sir, or, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Grand Exalted Ruler?
The other way. I guess Stephen can call him George. I don't know how it works, but you know, conservatives up here love to cozy up to the Bushies and makes them feel important, I suppose.
Correct. Now, what do you know about the latest? What's going on over there in the Middle East with Israel and Hezbollah?
Well, two things, I guess, struck me just recently. Iran's Hezbollah, which is not to be confused with Lebanon's Hezbollah, although the two groups are linked. Mm. And I don't know, may share. I don't know, a human resources department, for all I know. Is announcing that it could target Israeli and American interests overseas. Mm. So I suppose this war could widen, such as it is a war, could widen if Iran's Hezbollah gets involved. The other thing is the Guardian, Britain's left-leaning newspaper, is reporting that the Bush administration has essentially given Israel another week of bombing against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon before it will push for some kind of ceasefire, some kind of international involvement to end the situation.
So basically they're letting Israel do their dirty work, is that correct?
Well, yeah, I think that's pretty much what's happening here. At the G8 meeting in St. Petersburg, Jacques Chirac of France and Vladimir Putin of Russia expressed some concerns over what Israel was doing. I'm sort of surprised that Putin expressed concerns because he has his own terrorist problems in Chechnya. So I'm sort of surprised he's not siding with Israel on this. But Bush and Blair have essentially fended off any criticism right now. And there was a motion in the Security Council to condemn Israel's actions and to call for an immediate halt to the bombing campaign. And the U.S. vetoed, which is a rarity. I think that's what's happening. I think the U.S. and the U.K. have essentially given Israel a sort of, I guess it will be a two-week period to do its worst or its best to Hezbollah to try to weaken it, and then step in.
Yeah, well, they're saying that. Well, and they showed the conversation between Bush and Blair that, you know, it was off the record, but the mic was on, and you heard Bush, you know, swearing and everything else. That
Diet Coke conversation.
Yeah, and they're gonna, Bush says, you know, he wishes Kofi would get on the phone and get a hold of Assad and you know, get him in gear and everything else.
Yeah,
it's a big mess over there, isn't it? And they say that Condoleezza Rice is heading over there probably.
Yeah, it's a big mess, but I think it's been really overblown. I think these talks of World War III are a little premature and quite a bit irresponsible.
Hmm.
And you have conservatives in the United States who have very close ties to Israel, like Bill Kristol, the editor of the Weekly Standard and a frequent guest on Fox News,
mm-hmm.
who has come out and argued that this is quote unquote our war, in other words, America's war. Presumably that the United States should involve itself in this situation. I don't know what that means exactly, but you know, given that Kristol headed up the project for the New American Century, the right wing think tank in the United States that essentially was behind a lot of what neoconservatives were pushing. People like Kristol obviously want the United States to get involved in Iran somehow, and they probably see this as their window of opportunity.
Well, they see this as a way to, if Israel does its best to knock out Hezbollah, they'll give Iran a black eye in this whole thing.
Well, or you've got to wonder that you know, if by allowing Israel to do what it wants to do,
mm-hmm.
That could provoke some kind of response from Iran, which would then open up justification for the U.S. to do what it wants to do in Iran, right? But if Israel can sort of, you know, inadvertently goad Iran into doing something,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps the U.S. would be able to intervene, and rather than calling it some kind of preemptive strike, and sort of some part of the Bush doctrine. You know, they can actually make the case that they're just defending Israel's interest.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I was telling you during the break from the first hour to the second hour that, you know, all these anchors are over there. United States news anchors are over there, and Shepard Smith ducking for cover. Anderson Cooper's over there in Cyprus.
Really, Anderson Cooper's over there. I never would have guessed.
Yeah. And then now they said, what's her name's going to go over and save the day? What's her name? Soledad O'Brien. She's on her way there. She's going to save the day over there, I think. You know what
I mean? If we're counting on Soledad, nothing against Ms. O'Brien, but if we're counting on her to save the day, I think we're in serious trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess over there. So I wish they'd stay over, because we're talking about when the last go-around with the Katrina, Anderson Cooper and them in Geraldo went on O'Reilly's program. The two of them were coming apart at the seams, and it took, surprisingly, it took O'Reilly to rein them in. You know, they're just almost in tears.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And it is a mess. I mean, I don't know if they say if Syria gets involved, and then that will also bring in the United States, huh?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That if this extends beyond Lebanon's borders, and if it extends beyond Israel's tactical bombing campaign, which is to say, again, if Syria oversteps itself. Or if Iran oversteps itself, and I think the U.S. would have some justification for acting, and I think that's why you have these neocons like Bill Kristol and I assume Hawks within the administration. I'm not sure what Cheney's position is on this right now, but who are probably hoping that this expands into a wider war, perhaps because that would help Republican interests in November as well. I mean, let's not forget there's always a domestic angle to this, and Republicans have to have something to run on, and if the attention is on Israel or some kind of wider conflict in the Middle East, well, that would obviously be the number one issue this fall. So that's always a possibility. And I'm not suggesting that all Republicans are that cynical, but some certainly are.
I mean, you think this thing could drag on through November?
No. What I'm saying is I think that certain conservatives want it to drag on. They want it to escalate, right? I know you talk Battlestar Galactica on this show. Think Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, right, where the two sides essentially, you know, escalated themselves out of control.
True.
They intentionally kiboshed the peace plan. So I think something similar might be happening here where interests on all different sides are hoping that this expands into a wider war.
True. And that gets into the side that wants, you know, let's end this now. Let's you know, if they're doing it, let's go all out and do this. If we're going to, you know, and finally put, you know, end this war. You know what I mean?
Well, look, I mean, this isn't a view that I share, but there is some sort of credibility to it, I suppose, which is that, you know, the situation in the Middle East, the standoff in the Middle East has dragged on for a generation, mm-hmm. more than a generation. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, a lot of this goes back to, obviously, there are historical issues here, but I mean, essentially back 30, 40 years, and why not just have it out? I mean, what's the point of dragging it on any longer?
Right.
I don't necessarily share that view, but right. I think there are some who clearly do. This is now the opportunity to reorganize the Middle East beyond Iraq.
If it escalates, I mean, Israel's got nukes. I mean, Syria's, yeah. you know, yeah. and then, you know, Iran's got them, and, you know, do you want the nukes to start flying around? I mean, it's, you know, as I wish we could, calmer heads can prevail. Now they're talking about that Bush might send his father and Clinton over there to see what they can do. They're missing, you know, the one thing, you know, if he's going to do it, you know, I'm all for it. Let's see if they can work it out. But Carter's loved over in that part of the world. You know, they love him because he did the Camp David Accords and all that. I don't understand why they're not sending Clinton over there. Or not, I mean, Carter, I mean.
Jimmy Carter, yeah.
I mean, I just think it makes sense because he's always over there, you know, over there with, observing the elections and, you know, everything else. And he's very, very highly thought of, the Nobel Peace Prize and all that. You know, send them, you know.
Well, look, I'll go on the record now and say I don't think this is going to, this will escalate too much more than it has already. Mm. I think cooler heads will prevail. I mean, let's not forget that Israel is not run by a radical right-wing party. It's not even the Likud party anymore. It's the forward party of Olmert. The spirit of Ariel Sharon behind it. They've worked far too hard, I think. Think of the bulldozers in Gaza, for instance.
Yeah.
They've worked far too hard, I think, to improve Israel's image and to do I think to take some necessary steps to achieve some kind of lasting peace in the Middle East.
Mm.
I don't think they will intentionally expand their bombing campaign beyond what they're doing now, which is essentially, I know there are civilian casualties, but it's essentially a tactical campaign to take out specific Hezbollah interests.
Mm.
I think it will go on for another week or so, at which point the calls for some kind of international intervention will come, even from the United States. And I think even in that off the cuff. Conversation between Bush and Blair, I think even Bush expressed a desire to see that happen.
Mm. Well, yeah, and then, I was watching, I forgot which program I was saying. They're saying, yeah, they're rehashing the history of Israel, and they said, well, it is kind of odd. You have a European Jewish state right in the middle of a Muslim Middle East. You know, it's kind of an odd place for the, they're rehashing all this. So it's horrible what's going on, but in a way, they're doing it right. They're giving everybody an education about Israel's founding and what's gone on in the past and everything. I mean, it's horrible, but I don't see a way out unless they said the UN has to go in and calm things down, because they're worried that if this thing continues rolling, it'll destabilize the government in Lebanon, and then everything will be up for grabs, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, that's true, and I really don't think it's in anyone's interest outside of the extremists.
Mm-hmm.
The extremists in Hezbollah, the extremists in Syria and Iran, and perhaps even certain extremists in Israel, it's really in no one else's interest to see this expand to some kind of multinational conflagration in the Middle East. I mean, you know, even the U.S. doesn't want that to happen. I mean, as much as Bush may support Israel, he's given them a couple of weeks now to do what they need to do, or what they feel they need to do in response to the kidnapping of two soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Bush wants this to go any further.
No. Now, a question I had an emailer ask me that too. Why? You know, it's a question. It's a fair question. Why do we even bother with Israel? What do they do for us that we have to go through this with them all the time? Yeah, it's a fair question. You know, I'm saying what? Yeah, and then every month we have a story about they find some spy from Israel. You know, spying some kind of military thing here in the United States or something. Why are we on the side of Israel? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know? I mean, it's just, I don't know if it's because of, Bethlehem, Manger Square,
Yeah.
I don't know. If that's why we're on their side, I don't know. I always say, well, that's because it's the only democracy, in that part of the world. That's why we're with them, huh?
Well, I mean, there's certainly sort of, the darker racial, religious, ethnic elements to it. And, you know, again, I certainly don't share this view, but I mean, I think there's a certain extent where Israelis are more like us, aren't they? I mean, the Israelis are more like us. They're not Arabs. They're not Muslims. And for us, there's a certain foreign component to being Arab or to being Muslim generally.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I think it's much more comfortable for us to be supporting the Israelis because, again, they seem to be more like us.
Mm.
Of course, we also support them. And I say this, you know, the U.S. does, Canada does as well. Mm. We support them because we have fairly substantial Jewish populations in both of our countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we have fairly influential Jewish figures in both countries. You know, for instance, one of our national newspapers, the National Post, has certain interests tied to Israel. You certainly look at the neocons like Bill Kristol, who have interests tied to Israel. Now, there's some cynicism there, but I mean, I think that's somewhat accurate. Although, you know, on the lighter side is precisely what you mentioned, which is that, you know, Israel is a democracy. Israel is a fairly Western country. This is not to apologize for the errors that Israel has made along the way. It's not to apologize for the state of apartheid that exists in Israel, for instance, with respect to Palestinians, or generally the Israeli treatment of Palestinians. But, you know, Israel is very much like us. Its values are very much our own, and I think it makes sense to support them. Now, it makes sense to support them as a state with defined boundaries, and it makes sense as well to support a Palestinian state. I mean, I don't think the two are necessarily incompatible. I think we should be pro-Israel, but that doesn't mean we should be anti-Palestinian, right? I mean, we can be pro-Palestinian as well and say that Palestine should have its own state.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you get the people say that America is too one-sided in this thing, and we're always on the side of Israel. We're not in the middle of this. You know, and they point to the thing in the UN, and we vetoed it. You know, why is, you know, America should be more in the middle of this instead of tilting to Israel? You know.
Well, that's true. Of course, you know, you don't have to watch Fahrenheit 9/11 to know that the Bush administration also has ties to certain powerful Arab states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, the United States has essentially played all different sides against each other, right? I mean, the U.S. supported Iraq in its long war against Iran. The U.S. has supported Saudi interests. So the U.S. has essentially resisted meddling in internal Saudi affairs. The U.S., you know, has fairly positive relations with Jordan and Egypt, for example. So I understand that argument, and it's one I've wrestled with because my own sort of history, the evolution of my opinions on Israel have gone essentially from being somewhat critical of Israel to now much more supportive of Israel. You know, I was extremely critical of the settlements in Gaza, extremely critical of the Israeli treatment of Palestinians generally, extremely critical of Israel's sort of arrogant aggression. I understand where it's coming from. This is a country that essentially some of its neighbors would like to see obliterated. And so I completely understand why Israelis may feel that they need to act aggressively from time to time.
Mm.
But I think recent developments, the withdrawal of some settlements from Gaza, an acceptance of the Palestinian Authority, I think Israel, you know, even under Sharon, who was a former hardliner, Israel has shown that it's willing to take the steps necessary to achieve some kind of peace.
Mm.
But again, that's not to apologize for what Israel has done in the past, and it's certainly not to take the side of Israel against Palestinians.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you always have the question is, if Israel's that much hate in that part of the world, how come three or four of these countries don't join together and obliterate them? You know?
Yeah.
You know,
I think they know the U.S. would step in. Right?
Yeah, but I mean, I get a lot of questions. I'm like, well, that makes sense, but then we know we'd fire back at them. You know, same thing. I had this in the chat room from Georgia from BBC News. Israel claims Iran link to the crisis. Hezbollah's capture of two Israeli soldiers last week was timed to divert attention for Tehran's nuclear program. Yeah, all of a sudden, since this happened, all this talk about their nuclear program is off the table. You know.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. So that's one of the problems here is that all the attention over the past few days has been directed at the bombing,
mm-hmm.
The bombing campaign. You know, Hezbollah bombing Haifa, for example, and Israel bombing, say, the airport in Beirut. It has taken our attention away from other issues. And by the way, not just Iran, North Korea, still a problem.
Yeah, we forgot about them,
I mean,
too.
We don't need to get into this necessarily, but the UN finally sanctioned North Korea just a few days ago. So, I mean, you know, lest we forget, there is another nuclear power in the Far East that you know, it wasn't too long ago, just a week ago or so, they were launching missiles in the direction of Japan and Hawaii. True.
A lot of people were saying that the leader of Iran was some kind of lunatic, but yeah. It seems like if he was pulling the strings on this, with Hezbollah, I mean, it turns out he's not such an idiot after all, you know?
No, I mean, I think it's always dangerous to attribute insanity to any of these world leaders. Mm. I mean, Ahmadinejad seems to be somewhat more disengaged from reality than some others, but I mean, you know, I don't think that he and the Iranian leadership is necessarily acting against Iran's own self-interest. I mean, they're not about to, you know, I don't think they're about to launch, say, some kind of bombing campaign on Israel. I mean, I think they know better.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they want certain things from the United States.
Yeah.
And let's face it, I mean, a lot of this anti-Semitism and anti-Israeli sentiment is for domestic consumption. It's sort of, in some ways, it's how these leaders maintain power, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's always, you know, you should never really take anything at face value, and there are these domestic considerations to take into account.
Correct. Actually, on your blog, you have a quote, right here. When groups like Hezbollah and states like Syria make the case that Israel is to blame for their ills, they can justify their ongoing attempts to wipe Israel out entirely. So that's true. Yeah. As long as they can justify what they're doing to their people, they can get away with anything they want, huh?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's so many different angles to look at this, like I said. And this struggle now has certainly afforded us an opportunity to look again at the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Again, though, like I said, I think it will sort of tone down over the next week or so, and that there will be some kind of, you know, Israel will withdraw its bombing campaign, and it certainly won't be the end of the story, but I suppose Israel made the point it had to make, and I do to a certain extent. I don't celebrate the loss of innocent civilian life, but I mean I generally support Israel's response in this case. I think it was measured. I think it was carefully planned, and I think they did what they had to do.
So you agree with that? You don't, because a lot of people are saying that Israel's went way beyond. You know, the response was over and beyond what was justified, huh?
Yeah, and I've taken some hits on it. Look, I mean, I'm a member of the liberal blogosphere, and then, you know, a lot of my friends in the liberal blogosphere are not necessarily happy with what Israel's doing. Someone I admire a great deal, Steve Clemens, who writes the Washington Note, and I recommend it to all of your listeners. It's a fantastic blog. He's, mm-hmm. you know, he's been extremely critical of Israel's actions. Many others have, and this is a debate that's going on. I think it sort of crosses over partisan lines, but I've certainly taken some hits from liberals and conservatives alike. I mean, who don't necessarily respect or agree with my take on this, but. Look, I think it's a very fine line. I think Israel is close to the limit of what it should be doing. I think if it extends its bombing campaign, you know, beyond sort of strategic targeting of Hezbollah's infrastructure, then I think it will have overstepped what it should do.
How come the world doesn't do anything with Syria? Now, Syria is
that's a good question. Syria is run by the Ba'ath Party, which is the same party that Saddam ruled Iraq with.
Exactly.
Syria is a nasty place. Why? Who knows? I mean, look what Syria was doing to Lebanon for such a long time. I don't know. And you know, there are, again, neoconservatives like Bill Kristol who have called for a bombing campaign against Syria.
I
don't know where the U.S. finds all these bombers to bomb all these different countries. But
yeah, pretty soon we're going to run out of these bombs, and what are we going to do then, you know?
And you know, let's not forget, there was an interesting piece I read today, and I think it was in the New Republic's blog, The Plank, about, yet another horrible incident in Baghdad with, you know, something like 40 or 50 people killed by a suicide bomber. And, you know, it wasn't even one of the lead stories at the Washington Post, for example. Hmm. I mean, this is becoming so routine in that country. Mm-hmm. Dozens of deaths every day. So, you know, again, for all of our focus on what's going on between Israel and Lebanon and Hezbollah, you know, we shouldn't lose sight that there are thousands of American troops occupying a country that is essentially drowning in blood.
Yeah, well, that's one of the complaints I have about our media here in the United States, is or across the world, I guess, for that matter, that you know, they zero in on one story, and that's all you hear about for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, and you know what else is going on while they're covering all this mess, you know?
Yeah, hey, there was another tsunami in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, I covered that in my news segment, yeah, but so. Still, I mean, it's just it's some of the stuff they're you know, missing. You know, Iraq is still a mess, you know, the North Korea disaster, and he had also had Syria saying that they issued a statement that Americans should not come towards their country at all. Yeah. You know, those Americans fleeing Lebanon, they told them, do not come to Syria.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So they're probably saying, we don't want Americans there, because they know that I imagine the troops will be coming there to get them or something, huh?
Yeah, possibly, absolutely.
Then he had a little thing with some ship that went into the waters there off of the coast of Lebanon, and the Israelis stopped it. They didn't realize that somehow the American military must have chartered it, or I don't know, whatever happened. And then
a number of different countries like Britain, Canada, the U.S. are trying to get their citizens out any way they can. It sort of resembles Dunkirk, when all the small British ships traveled across the English Channel to extract British soldiers from the beach when they were pinned down by the Germans. But I mean, yeah, I mean, look, this is huge. Don't get me wrong. What have I blogged about recently? I mean, you know, I say 75% of what I've done over the past several days is focused on Israel. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this is obviously a huge story. I just think, because of the herd mentality in the media, it's being blown out of proportion somewhat. I think it will pull back. And, you know, meanwhile, there are other concerns like Iran and North Korea that we should be paying attention to. Another story I read today, and I'm not sure if you covered this in your news segment, but it looks like Turkey may send military forces into northern Iraq to deal with Kurdish insurgents.
Really? Oh, that's big news.
You know, which means you could essentially have Turkey on a collision course with the United States.
Uh-oh.
So, just when you think, you know,
yeah,
there aren't enough problems in the world, you know, there you go.
Wow.
Of course, you know, we haven't even talked about stem cell legislation in the United States and the same-sex marriage amendments. And
well, and then
it goes on endlessly, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, in Turkey, they let us use their border there to send in the troops to begin with from the northern plank of Iraq. So now they're gonna get involved in this mess too.
Now things could get messy. So
I really don't think they'll, because I think United States, they consider United States an ally and vice versa. So I really don't see. Who knows these days? I mean,
I will say this. A friend of me said this to me recently, and I agree with him. Bush has done a terrible job managing American foreign policy. I really do believe that, whether it's neglect or whether it's, you know, reckless intervention. The next president will be crucial.
Oh,
whoever
yeah.
this next one is, McCain, Hillary, George Allen, Warner, you name it,
mm-hmm.
that's the person who's going to have to deal with the fallout from Iraq, Iran, North Korea,
Israel,
Turkey,
yeah.
Israel, you name it. You know, radicals in Latin America, left-wing parties taking over Latin America. You know, as much as Bush has screwed things up, you know, I really hope that my American friends, you, my American friends, elect the right president to handle these crises, because Bush clearly has not done the job.
Yeah, which is mind-boggling, because, you know, Bush and his father was, you know, a foreign policy hawk, and, you know, Bush came in with the best foreign policy team in the history of the world and everything else, and turned out to be one big blunder. You know, Carter couldn't have done a worse job with foreign policy, you know?
No, absolutely, and I hope whoever it is has the diplomatic wherewithal, the toughness, the international respect to go in. And I think one of the things we're seeing in the Israeli situation is not just that, you know, Bush may be green-lighting Israel here, but that the United States, unfortunately, has very little credibility left to intervene diplomatically in this kind of situation.
Yeah.
Because they're already bogged down in the Middle East in a war that no one wants to see go on much longer. And, you know, unfortunately, Bush has squandered the opportunity that America had, I think, in many ways, to deal with these problems.
Yeah, yeah.
So. I mean, it's a terrible, you know, it's terrible, and it's not because I, I don't say this because I absolutely despise George W. Bush. I mean, I say it because, you know, the reality is I live right next to you. I respect America. I know that it's the only country that is capable of dealing with these problems. Yet it can't happen because Bush has essentially handcuffed America. Hmm. And, you know, again, that has to change, whether it's a Republican like McCain or a Democrat like Hillary.
Well, Michael, with let you go, I didn't have a second with you. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Thanks a lot. It was great.
No
good
problem.
Times.
No problem. I'll be on it back in a couple weeks.
Absolutely.
All
anytime.
Right. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sean.
Thank you. And that was Michael J. W. Stickings of the reaction.blogspot.com and also from the Modern Voice. It was a nice little talk about the mess over there in Israel and Hezbollah and everything else. So what a disaster that is over there, huh? So, but anyway, before we're joined by Koenig, actually Friday was the Scully Girl was saying that she watched the preview of Battlestar Galactica. They ran on the Eureka series premiere, so hopefully she'll give us in the chat room what was the big selling point of the Battlestar Galactica preview. And then also they announced that the season premiere of Galactica is going to be a two-hour movie, and now they're saying now they'll probably push back the season premiere to October 13th now, because originally supposed to start on the 6th. They'll probably push it back a week so they can air the two episodes in a row, so they won't lose a week of airtime with the series. So they'll still be, the show will still end to take its normal break for Christmas, but then it'll be a two-hour season premiere for the series, so that'd be good. And I did watch the Atlantis and the SG-1 season premieres. I thought, you know what, I was surprised. You know, everybody knows I'm not that big of a viewer of Atlantis or SG-1, but you know what, I liked both of the season premieres. You know what I mean? Because SG-1 seems to have gone back to how it was years ago. It was more of the mythology and everything, so I like that. And Atlantis finally seems to be, you know, getting its sea legs, as they say, because they're on for like what the next 20 weeks, is that right? And then Galactica comes back in there somewhere. And then I read something, I think maybe something that KR gave me, that they expect that the season 3 of Galactica will air with the season 2 of Doctor Who. So that'd be interesting. So, and I think now Mr. Koenig Rose is on the line, so he'll be joined. Here we go. Coming out of the Stargate is Mr. Koenig Rules.
Hello.
Ah, nice to see you made out of the Stargate. Are you sick or anything coming out of the Stargate?
No. How are you feeling? Better?
I'm feeling fine. How are
good.
You? Much better.
I'm fine.
It's terrible. It's terrible. No, I'm much better. I got my singing voice back, as they say.
Yeah, I didn't even notice your voice was given out yet.
Cry me a river, right?
Okay, you can stop.
I can stop singing. I won't be. I may all be in the new lounge on Battlestar Galactica. Huh? I'll be like the three-eyed women on the old show, huh?
Oh God!
Remember those?
Yes, and Dirk Benedict wanted to.
Sign them up to a promotional deal.
Yeah.
How the hell are you going to promote them? Everything's been destroyed. I don't know. I always boggle my mind. But anyway, so now did you watch the Stargates?
Yeah, did you?
Absolutely. I was just saying that. You know what? I never was a real huge fan of the series. I don't know, maybe because I like the movie. You know, the movie was so well done. You know what I mean? But
right.
I actually enjoyed the season premieres, you know?
The special effects on both shows.
Oh.
Were really good. I mean, it looks like finally they had halfway decent effects. Not saying that other episodes didn't, but the space battles in both of the shows were very impressive.
Yeah, I mean,
so I'm hoping that Battlestar at least copies effects wise some of what the Stargates are doing this year.
Well, let's hope so. But I mean, I
think that they're copying now.
Oh,
you know,
they're all copying each other. But no, I liked it. You know, they I liked how SG-1 they went back and they kind of gave, you know, like new viewers like a run through what happened before.
Right.
You know, I mean, I liked that. I don't know. It's a flashback. I don't know. I guess it was a flashback, and they show the scenes and they bounce back so you know what happened before. I like
right.
that. You know,
are pretty cool characters.
Yeah,
because the Goa'uld have been
Ooh.
sort of, they're not the dominant force anymore. So having a group that believes in a religion sounds like the Cylons.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that. And then what's her name, gives birth to the Miracle Child, which kind of reminds me of the baby on Galactica. Vala gave birth to that Miracle Child.
Yeah. Adria.
Yeah, Adria. And then 2 minutes later, the kid's 12 years old. You know,
yeah,
right?
But they said on Galactica that they're not going to age the kid prematurely, but they're not opposed to doing time jumps forward.
Yeah, and then she's not like possessed or somebody, or she's like a human. What do they say? Human manifestation of what the Ori are. So like an oracle.
The actresses were very good with the parts they played, because they had about three or four different girls playing Adria at various points in development, like 5 years old. And
yeah.
Well,
I like when Vala went to see her in the room, and she made the flames come up on the sides of the bed and everything. I thought, wow, this girl's got some powers, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's of course, this was done in Space 1999, back in the 70s, so it wasn't too original. And V, don't forget V.
Huh.
With remember Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, but, it needed a good start, and I can't wait to see Richard Dean Anderson appearing. He's supposed to be appearing in the 200th episode of SG-1.
Oh, really?
And then a couple more episodes, including Atlantis.
Really? And I like how Adria says it was the ancients, not the Ori, who drain power from their followers. So that kind of set thing in order here, you know.
So they're the good guys, according to her.
Yeah, and then they brought in the Odyssey, that ship. Now, a couple of other ships were destroyed, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then I like how, what's his name, saved Samantha by maneuvering the ship.
Oh, Micho, so that he scooped her up.
Yeah.
In the hangar bay.
I thought that was interesting. You know, it kind of reminded me, I harken back to when the Starbuck saved Apollo by putting the ships together and landing them on the landing bay in the Galactica.
Now you're talking about the new show or the old show?
And the new one. Remember when
she
was in the miniseries?
Kidding, just kidding.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. And then, wait, what else happened here? I made notes, so let me see here.
I like Vanna, though. I like Claudia Black.
Oh, she's excellent.
I mean, and now she's a good addition. Mitchell, he's okay.
He's a cheap Richard Dean Anderson, ripoff. You know, I mean, the smart aleck comments.
I feel like Daniel.
Daniel,
you know?
Yeah, he's the heart and soul of that show. I think
when he left,
I did like watch it hit or miss when he, and then when he left, the show was like, oh my god. Yeah,
well, they had a replacement for him.
Oh yeah,
what's his name? Thankfully.
Yeah, and he's like the heart and soul of that show. You know.
Right.
And then what else? I lost where am I at my notes? Oh, and the Odyssey squares up against a group of gold mothership. I always wanted to say that in
here. Say that again. Gold.
They did the science of Stargate, which is before it, and that messed up my recording, but I wound up getting most of that science business of it. I thought that was pretty interesting as well.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. I got that, too. That was a pretty good night.
Yeah, and what else? And Carter, she raided the Ori ships in hopes of any survivors of the Korolev, that the Earth ship was destroyed by the Ori, apparently, huh?
Right.
And then Daniel found his radio and responds, and then he told Sam he made out okay. So a lot of people are saying it's the writing is the best season premiere. It will pick up where Camelot left off and kick off a major story arc. This is from the executive producer, Joseph Malozzi.
Okay.
So this is supposed to be a big season. We're apparently using this to kick off a huge story arc. So
wow, I'm expecting big things this year because it is the 10th season.
Yeah. And then
10 seasons.
That's incredible. It's the longest running sci-fi show in history, right?
Well, Doctor Who.
Continuously running. Did they run 10 years straight?
Well, Doctor Who ran 20
straight?
6 years.
Straight without any breaks or anything? Straight?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I believe it did. It did run 26 years without any breaks. By the way, your chat room, I can't get in it.
Uh-oh. I don't know why that is.
I've been trying to log on and I can't get in it.
No, we're all in the chat room. Ron Moore's in there. Morovian's in there. That's probably why. No, I'm kidding. No, he's not in there. Giorgio, NetRanger.
Really, I just have to keep trying.
Believe me, it's not full, so I don't know.
Maybe
and
I've been denied.
I don't think so.
Thanks a lot.
I think the gold got to you.
With the
ORI. Claudia Black, I guess she was concerned about coming back to the show because she was pregnant, and they wrote the pregnancy into the storyline.
Right.
So that's
right.
Good. But, yeah, she's an excellent addition. Yeah, it gives a nice Farscape feel to SG-1. Now, what about Atlantis? What do you think? You said before you think Atlantis is the weaker of the two, right?
Atlantis is the weaker, but I would say that I liked the first episode where they brought back the Dr. Weir to Earth, and so she showed off some of her leadership skills again, which I think all of last season it was missing. So I was glad that they expanded her character, and Rodney, of course, was great too aboard the Wraith ship, and what's his face, John Shepard, who had his fighter on the underside of one of the Wraith ships.
Yeah,
that was good. I mean, overall, I liked it how they got the Wraith with the gas, so that the gas changes them to human form, so they don't know then that they're Wraith, and so they got incapacitated, though some killed each other in the process. It was good. The Wraith at least know where Earth is now, and that they're heading toward Earth, but they made a pit stop, and that's when they the Terrans attacked. One comment that a colleague watched with both shows is that it's too bad they don't do nice crossovers, because on Atlantis, it's the Wraith. On SG-1, it's the ORI, and they never talk about the other menace on the other show. So it's almost like they're trying to be two separate shows, and yet they have the overlap where Weir comes back to Earth, and you know, but they never mention the ORI.
Yeah, you would think they're shooting the shows at the same time. You think they would have some kind of and they're airing them back to back. They think would have some kind of mention.
I think probably I know Atlantis is trying to lift itself out of the shadow of SG-1, but as long as you're going to have the characters from the other show make guest appearances, what they really should do is a story that ties in both shows together.
Yeah, how about having the two villains team up? Yeah,
right, exactly. Yeah. And it's like the ORI don't know the Wraith don't know the ORI, and I think it would really add a lot to the plot. Maybe that's what they're going to do mid-season.
How about this for a crossover from the chat room? How about the Wraith and the ORI and then the Cylons team up? Wow, I have a major...
Yeah, and the Daleks and the Cybermen.
Holy Christopher, can you imagine him all these running around?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
I do like the fact on Atlantis that they brought back Michael. He's the one that was transformed, a Wraith that was transformed into a human.
Oh yeah.
Sort of given a history, and so he's sort of helping out the Earth people now.
Yeah.
And if you recognize him, he played Tucker on Enterprise.
Oh, yes, Connor Trinneer.
Yeah, so he's got a recurring role.
Good for him.
And you should have him on, you know.
Yeah, and Robert Picardo showed up, too. He's on there.
Was it both shows? No.
Yeah, he said somewhere. He said he's been on both shows now. Crisscrossing.
You know, it's sort of like the Star Trek has-beens.
Now, what about the 4400?
The 44, you know, I really feel sorry for Tom. I mean, given his history, he's had his son jailed because his son killed Jordan Collier because he was being manipulated by some of the bad aliens. Now he loses his wife. Poor Tom. I mean, he's just... His whole family's broken apart, but I loved what he did to Peter Coyote.
He scared the hell out of him.
That was so fantastic, where Coyote's now in charge of this group monitoring the terrorists and what he does to him at the end to free the 1 4400 guy. That was that that was great.
Yeah, there's supposed to be like a swap or something like that, and it turned out to be a big setup or something, right? And it ran the car off the road and everything.
It reminds me a little bit of X-Files.
Yeah,
with the intrigue and the deception, and it was good. But Elizabeth is going to be a force to be reckoned with, I think, by the end of this season.
Really, really. And how about that?
She's got such incredible powers that they're gonna have, I think, a fantastic cliffhanger for the end.
What about Isabel?
I'm sorry, it's Isabel.
Oh yeah, Isabel.
Why am I saying Elizabeth?
I don't know.
Probably because I'm thinking of Vanna's child, and it's been a long day.
Yeah, no, and then Isabel, what's her name, came back into Sean's life, right? They rehashed that a little bit.
His girlfriend.
Nikki.
Right.
But what's her name was jealous as hell, especially when they first met.
Yeah, so I have a feeling something's going to happen to Nikki.
So then they...
I don't like what's happening with Sean.
Hmm.
He seems like he's being manipulated at times. He's not the likable... Well, see, you don't have the history of the first two seasons, but he's not the likable guy.
Hmm.
I mean, he's sort of transforming himself into a more manipulative type of individual.
Really? Well, he purposely pushed what's her name away, so Isabel wanted to kill her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know.
But he's still messing around with Isabel, and that's going to be. And I still think she was the one controlling him.
Really?
To go nuts.
Yeah, now, what'd you hear, I don't know if you saw that, but the Galactica is probably going to have a two-hour premiere now.
Yes. According to McCreary, Bear McCreary, the composer, the first hour episodes, 301 and 302, are going to air back-to-back, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying it's supposed to be a blockbuster. It's like a two-hour movie, you know, not just like a two-hour series premiere like we got in the first season. It's going to be like a two-hour movie.
Yep.
So that should be pretty good. And then what else did you have? Do you have something about Doctor Who?
Well, that the second you mentioned it, right, that the second season supposedly is going to air with the first 10 episodes of Battlestar.
Correct. And then
the fall.
And then they said that the apparently when the Galactica comes back, it'll be timed with the second 10 of Stargates.
Right.
So that means it'll be the end of Doctor Who then. So Doctor Who's going to keep going apparently. And then in January when the Galactica comes back,
that's right, because it's going to be off for about a month.
Yeah.
So Battlestar. But I find it strange that they're going to still have Doctor Who. Maybe Doctor Who will start up a little bit earlier than Galactica.
Oh, yeah, because it's 13 episodes.
If they do a two-hour... Yeah, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do a two-hour one, too, like they did for the first two episodes of Doctor Who.
There you go.
So it would then be 11 weeks. So they're going to start probably a week... a week earlier, and then they'll pair it up with the Battlestar Galactica two-hour premiere. And then it'll all work out together.
Oh, well, that should be interesting. And then, as they say, in January when they come back, Doctor Who will be done, and then Galactica will be paired up with the second 10 of Stargate.
That's right.
So that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
and,
like it.
And the Christmas special for the Doctor, I sent you something along all the press releases that it's going to involve a different female, at least for the Christmas special.
Yes.
So it won't be his... Assistant.
It's going to involve B. Arthur, right?
B. Arthur.
Golden Girls, come to Doctor Who. They're about as old as he is anyway, aren't
they?
That's
right, that's right.
But then, so we got that figured. That's good. Now, it looks like they're determined to keep Galactica on Friday nights, which is nice, huh?
Which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good. I'm just wondering how Stargate did in the ratings.
I don't know.
They haven't released anything on the Futon Critic yet.
No, and I was over on...
I think it comes out like Wednesday or Thursday.
Really?
I'm just curious what the ratings
are. I was over at Gate World. I didn't see anything over there either for the ratings from Stargate. They should be good because they grabbed me in, and everybody knows I'm not a fanatic Stargate fan. Both of those episodes
and
brought me in.
And your Confederate over there doesn't watch it at all.
The Stargate?
Yeah, well, he said he does other things on Friday night.
Yeah, well, it's
throw up.
it's hard because you know that show's been on for so long. I think that's one that people think, oh my God, it's been on for 10 years now. It's hard.
Wouldn't it be nice if Galactica was on for 10 years?
I don't know if it'll, do you think it's
you
last,
really don't think it's gonna.
I don't think so.
Years, huh?
I think.
Oh, Caprica, come on.
Oh well, no, I think maybe they'll do like Star Trek. They'll five for sure. 7 if they're lucky, and then they'll go off the air. Because 10 years, I mean, that's a long haul.
It is.
I mean,
you know,
Stargate was able to do it, but still, I mean, the first couple years are a throwaway because they did a half hour, on Showtime. I mean, it's very short seasons.
Right. They haven't really done the conventional sci-fi though on Galactica, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if over time
they're running
out of plots or stories, whether they'll do some of the things like
lasers.
Well, they don't time travel, but they make time jumps. I'm wondering what's going to happen with the Cylon baby. I mean, are we going to have to wait 10 years for the kid to grow up?
Maybe.
Or is something going to happen where she's going to be like Vanna's child?
Yeah. Now, have you seen the sneak preview of Battlestar Galactica on
Eureka? No, I haven't, because I was teaching tonight, so. But I set the DVD player to recorder to record.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that. But the Eureka, I don't know. I think that they're.
Did you see Eureka?
No, it's still not on yet. I don't think. What time does it come on?
It came on 8 to 10.
Eight to ten, so it'll be 10 to 11 out here. It'll be on, but still, I don't know. I mean, because they pushed back ECW tonight to make way for Eureka.
Uh oh.
Yeah, they pushed back ECW, who's going to be here at the last hour of the night, and then they moved up Eureka. I thought, yeah, the wrestling is going to be closing out the night in Sci-Fi Channel, but I don't know. And well, then they're hyping up ECW tonight too, because I was watching the WWE on USA, and they said the Undertaker is going to be on ECW. He's an old time wrestler, and then the Big Show are going to be there. So they're loading up. It's supposed to be a big night for Sci-Fi.
Now, do you know what are they going to put on? Well, I'm asking you. Do you know if they're going to put on The Night Stalker after Eureka on successive Tuesday nights?
Oh, every night they did.
I heard that they're going to have The Dead Like Me, the two episodes back-to-back, then Eureka. Then I thought they were going to bring back The Night Stalker and air the four episodes that they didn't show. Which I got the collection. I got the DVD collection, and wow, the one who played Delana on Babylon 5, Mira Furlan, she plays a killer in one of the episodes. She is really good.
Really? Oh, is she Scully Girl saying that Eureka is on for 2 hours tonight?
Right, but then I'm wondering, like, next week, when it goes back to an hour, whether The Night Stalker is going to then premiere.
I don't know, maybe I'll put Eureka and then have Caprica after it. Eureka, Caprica,
And throw up.
I don't know. Any updates about Caprica?
No, except some article that I was reading with David Icke revealing some stuff about season 3 that they're still working out the script for the first episode. So it looks like right now they're mainly focusing on Galactica, which is good, but I have a feeling that they're going to try to kick off, like I said all along, Caprica with Galactica season 4.
I'm still looking for a report from this past weekend's sci-fi convention here in Vegas, but so far I haven't gotten one.
Was Aaron Douglas there?
Yes, he was, but apparently the crowd for Aaron Douglas was not as populated as they had. A listener of mine apparently was in town and went to see him, and he said Aaron Douglas was really friendly, but the line at his table is not as long as he had expected.
Huh.
So,
expecting millions?
I guess. I don't know. We'll see. Aaron Douglas was just added, last minute to this convention. So
they should have had Dean Stockwell. Dean Stockwell or Lucy Lawless. They didn't have either one of those, right?
No. They had Sorbo and all them. But, he said that Aaron Douglas was very, very friendly. And apparently it talked about him karaokeing.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's a
he's not in every episode.
Well,
Galactica in season 3, because he at least communicated to me that he has some time off now with some episodes he's not in at all. So sounds to me like they always bring the chief in at the beginning, about halfway through and then at the end.
Actually, the fan that went to the convention is actually in the chat room. Is BSG fan PT. He said it was great for me.
It
was great for him.
It was great.
Yeah, going to the convention and meeting Aaron Douglas.
How much did he spend all together?
I think there was something at the Star Trek The Experience. I think something about Aaron Douglas singing stuff. Uh-oh, there's our FTL drum jump there.
Aaron, though? What? I guess my question is, did he touch him like you touched him?
Uh-oh, no, yeah. Aaron Douglas was very cool, he says. Aaron was very cool. And yes, he was
a
lot of fun.
You haven't washed your hand since you touched him.
Not since. So, all right, Conan, we'd let you go at the end of the program.
Okay, we'll have ratings on Stargate, huh?
Hopefully, that's hopefully.
I really want to know. And 4400 and Dead Zone are doing good, so there is the possibility of renewed seasons. They're not doing great, but they're doing good.
Very good. Well, thank you, Koenig. We thank you. And thank you very much. Thank you for being on the program. We thank everybody for being on and everybody listening to the chat room and on the podcast and also on the archive and everything else. I'm Sean O'Max, Sean Daly. SubjectToDiscussion.com and SubjectToDiscussion at LVRocks.com. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.